The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. To build a little bit on what I said earlier, some meditation practice is about including everything, all our experience, what's happening in our bodies, as well as our inner emotional life. Or maybe sometimes our emotions aren't inner, maybe they are outer too, they kind of spill out. And it's not unusual for us to have emotions, or should I wait? Can you hear? I'll wait just a moment here. Okay, there we go. It's not unusual for us to have, whether it's really at the forefront of our mind or really back in the recesses of our mind, this idea that it would really be much better if certain emotions weren't around. It would just be easier somehow if they weren't there. But of course, we don't get to choose that, right? We don't get to decide exactly which emotions we're experiencing and when we are. Instead, this practice and the way to find freedom is to be with what's actually arising, to be with reality, to the truth, and the truth is lots of different emotions arise. But this idea that some of it would be easier or better if some emotions weren't around, of course, is not a crazy idea. We get this message from so many different places, not only from our upbringing, the way we were socialized, or the culture. For example, I think here in the West, you know, making some gross generalizations, you know, it's maybe men get the message that it's maybe better to be less emotional, to be less expressive. And women get the message only certain emotions are appropriate and other ones aren't. But not only from the culture or in the way we were socialized, but also Buddhism can also, in a subtle way, make us feel that maybe it would be better if some emotions weren't around. We use this language of hindrances or fetters for things like desire or aversion or ill will. And that kind of gives this idea like, oh, they should, you know, let's get rid of them, get them out of the way so we can actually meditate, because I could have a pretty good practice as long as these hindrances weren't here, or as long as these fetters or these things weren't here. And then there's this other way that kind of Buddhist teachings, even a more subtle way, can promote this idea that certain emotions aren't helpful. And that is, whatever idea we have about what does it mean to be awakened? What does it mean to be a mature practitioner? What does progress on the path look like? And if we examine that, some of us may have this idea of, well, it's kind of a model of, we could use this language, like limited emotions. Like if you're really a mature practitioner, you only have a small range of emotions. Or if you're awakened people, maybe don't even have emotions at all. But in fact, that's not what awakening is or a mature practice is. Instead, what it's about is our relationship to emotions, how we are with them. And as our relationships kind of get a little bit more accepting, not a little bit more accepting, incredibly more accepting, then the fuel for emotions, strong emotions, kind of diminishes, and then strong emotions themselves diminish. So if we agree that it's worthwhile to look at emotions, it's part of the human experience, it's part of the Buddhist practice, then how do we do that? And I would like to propose that it's helpful if we make some, again, some broad generalizations, that not all emotions at all times get dealt with the same way. If we could break them up into our garden variety emotions, I'll use that expression, that is like the irritation when noise is happening during our meditation period. Irritation when the person behind us in the car is driving a little bit too close and we look in our rearview mirror and there's, you know, somebody there. You know, that kind of garden variety things that just arises, and we have many of those throughout the day. And then there's strong emotions, things that we may feel like really wrapped up in, and they have a repetitive, maybe a little bit compulsive in the sense that they don't go away. We can't just let them go away. Unlike the irritation that sometimes can arise and we can let it go, these strong emotions are really present, and we have to do a little bit of work to work with them. And then I'd say the third type of emotions are those that are overwhelming, that they arise and they're so strong that we can't help but get lost in them. And maybe there's a lot of tears associated with them. Maybe there's yelling associated with them. You know, there's something, you know, associated with them. So in working with all three of these garden variety, strong and overwhelming, there's some common themes. One is to notice how they are in the body. Can we find a physical sensation that's a correlate to this emotion? It may be easier for the strong emotion or the overwhelming one. As well as, can we use the body as a way to support us with this emotion, with accepting it, being with it? That is, can we notice our feet on the ground? Or if we're sitting, the pressure of the chair or the cushion against our body? And that kind of helps it bring us here into the present moment. Sometimes it's helpful to just simply name it. Oh, this is sadness. This is irritation. Somehow naming it creates a little bit of space between our experience and what's happening. And in that tiny little bit of space, there can be room for choice or room for something else to happen. Or maybe for that moment when we're naming it, oh, here's sadness, we're not quite as wrapped up in it. And then, of course, to notice our reactions to the emotions. Right? Emotions are natural, they're appropriate, it's part of the human experience. We should feel sad when there's loss. I shouldn't say should. I should say that, you know, it's just a natural consequence when something that we've dearly wanted or dearly loved goes away. Of course we're sad. Of course we're angry when there's injustices. So emotions are appropriate, but it's our reaction to them. Can we accept them? So it's easier to accept the garden variety ones, but this overwhelming ones, I would really emphasize this importance of coming to the body and feeling your feet on the ground. And then we could also do this practice that is called useless gazing. If you're meditating, you can open your eyes. And this idea that you look at things that are completely neutral, but really, and look at them like with moving your head, moving your neck, and moving your eyes. For example, I could like look at the bottom of this chair right here. I could look at the corner of the wastebasket right there. I could look at this column right here. I could look at this lamp up here. Right, these are neutral things. And that kind of helps take the us get swept away from our emotion, help bring us in the present moment. It's a way for us to kind of get grounded in the here and now and not lost in a story. And so if we're meditating, we can do this by just opening our eyes. If we're doing this in regular life, we can do this just by naming things, as I said. And then with strong emotions that are kind of in between the garden variety and the overwhelming ones, we can really pay attention to the body and use our minds to help us. Use the wisdom that we have. Wisdom may not be available to us if we're in some overwhelming emotions. But in the strong ones, we can notice that, oh, it has some bodily sensations. And these sensations are not completely static. In fact, it's with some tension, maybe like in their shoulders, and that it's maybe associated with a little bit of a throbbing. Sometimes feels more on the right side than on the left side. So in this way, we can disassemble this emotion into some big thing that we shouldn't have. And also we can notice like, oh, it has some, it's changing. It's not static. And in fact, we may bring to mind like, oh, it wasn't here 10 minutes ago, and we can remember it's impermanent. It's going to arise and pass away like everything else in the universe. We can also notice that if we are observing it, it's not us, right? It's kind of like in this use of conventional language that things out there are not the same as things in here, using conventional language. So it's not self. We are not anger itself. Anger is happening. Anger has arisen. We don't have to use the language, I am angry. We can say, oh, here's anger. It has a little bit of space and helps us not identify with it. Also, we can use some wisdom to examine what kind of beliefs and attitudes are fueling the emotions. Often if we're going to do this, then it's not uncommon. If we're really going to examine, like, what's really happening here? What is this? And if we can stay with it, we'll discover often some images, maybe fleeting images or ideas that are related to our past. Maybe when we were really young. And then we can work with that. We can acknowledge that. Those are what's kind of like fueling these emotions, making them be really strong. And a third thing we can do is to acknowledge that if we're having strong emotions, it's a mixture of things. Just like I said, it has a physical component that's changing. But it also has a wholesome component. It has a skillful component. For example, that maybe there's a wish for others to be happy. Maybe there's a wish for me to be happy. Maybe there's a wish for me to find some ease. That's skillful and that's wholesome. And maybe, you know, part of our emotion has that in there. Maybe there's the wish for the world to be a better place. Maybe there's a wish to find tranquility. Maybe there's a wish for someone to understand something so that they can find some ease. And so can we modify or adjust our relationship to the emotion by noticing like, oh, there's some wholesome quality here. There's some compassion as part of this emotion. Maybe compassion for others, compassion for ourselves, maybe some loving kindness. And can we tap into that? Can we use that to help us not whitewash the emotion in just a single way and not want to work with it at all. So in this way, with emotions, with the garden variety ones, we can feel them in our body. We can name them. So do what we can to accept them. for overwhelming emotions, we can bring, like purposely feel our feet on the ground, feel the pressure on our body with any parts, and maybe do some useless gazing to help bring us into the present moment so that we don't get quite swept away. We don't want to ignore our emotions and pretend they don't exist. They do exist. They do happen. It's part of reality. And then for the strong emotions, we can bring what kind of wisdom we have that's available to us for them. We can look at them and remind ourselves they're impermanent. They're not self. We are not angry in the sense that I am only angry, but anger is here. Anger has arisen. In this way that our mindfulness practice can help, can include all of us, even those little portions that we were not even aware of or maybe thinking that we weren't even there. Thank you.